Okay, so how do you explain what Revision 3 does to your mum? Give us the overview.
All right, well, Mom, you know you've got those channels like BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three that you like to watch, and then maybe you've got some of those additional channels on B-Sky B that are, you know, news channels or CNN International. Well, we are essentially a television channel or a network, but instead of being distributed over satellite or over the airwaves, we're distributed entirely on the Internet. So if you have a television hooked up to the Internet or a computer or an iPod or any of those other devices that can play back video, you go to our site, grab our shows, and watch them just like you'd watch The Office.
So is this a long-form content or short-form content, and how do you promote what you're doing?
So we started out doing long-form content, which essentially means television shows that last a half hour or an hour or something in between, because we're not bound to that. You know, it's got to be 30 minutes and it's got to have 10 commercials. But I really see this as people view content on the Internet. There's kind of a bifurcated viewing that's happening. There's definitely people sitting down, watching longer shows, enjoying it like they do traditional television. But then there are people who watch shorter stuff, like a minute, 2 minutes, get sent to them by their friends. They're at work, they're having a cup of coffee, they hate their boss, and they need a laugh. And so we're also doing shorter form stuff that is both in and of itself its own show, but also that's cut out of our larger shows. And as to how we promote ourselves, we have a very rabid fan base. We work very strongly through a lot of the social media on the net, including Dig.com and Facebook, and a lot of word of mouth. Our stars are pretty well known, and we do a lot of work getting our word out to traditional media like The Guardian.
And so, talking about Dig, that's one of your star titles, obviously. Can you tell us a bit more about some of your biggest shows?
Yeah, so Dig.com is actually a separate company, and it's the social news site, and it's great. But what we do, and our number one show, is called Dig Nation. And it is basically the guys who run Dig once a week sit on a couch, have a beer or a cup of tea, and they talk about the top seven stories on Dig.com. And they basically introduce the story, talk about it, talk about what they think, go off on tangents. And what it's like, although it sounds kind of boring, there's two guys sitting on a couch drinking beer and talking about what's on a website, it's kind of a buddy movie. The people who love it, and there are a lot of people who love it, just kind of hang out. They're their best friends. Kevin and Alex are like their buddies that they spend an hour with every week, and they just hang out and talk tech. And it's amazingly, amazingly popular, and it's really compelling. So that's one. A couple of other shows that we do that are pretty big. We do a show called Techzilla, which we call a technology variety show, which doesn't mean it has singing and dancing. But we do product reviews, and we do help questions. We answer help questions on the air that people send in. We have interviews of top geek people, and we look at computer games and trends. Another show that we have is called The Totally Rad Show. And if you're into modern movies and video games and TV shows and comic books, it's a review show where three very different guys actually show off the movie or the video game and then talk about it and review it. And one last show that's kind of really fun that's up there is called Web Drifter. And the point of this show is there are a lot of wackos out there that have websites. For example, here in the U.S., we have a guy who thinks he's Peter Pan. Pixieland.org. Go check it out. But the best thing to do, we actually send this guy, Martin Sargent, out to visit these people, these wackos, and visit their website and talk to them and get inside their heads. So we went and spent a day with the guy at pixieland.org and really got into his head. And it's funny not because we write it that way, but because the situations and the people are so wacky that it is just hilarious.
I love pixieland.org, could I just say? Okay, so people assume that online content has much lower production values, that it's just a kind of a much cheaper way to do telly. What do you think of that?
I think that certainly a lot of the video on the Internet is low production values, but we're seeing a real flight to quality. So it's got to be really good looking. The audio's got to be good. Sound is even more important than video. Certainly there's a lot of stuff out there that's not that great, but there's a lot of really great stuff that's available in HD. All of our stuff is in HD. We built a big studio, big for Internet terms, that allows us to do HD video. And there are new devices that let you watch them on your big screen TVs, like the Apple TV and others. And I have to tell you, just because I'm a big fan of London, and I was on Apple TV looking at all their HD content, there's this one online video. We don't do it. It's called Scenes of London. And every week, this guy goes out with his HD camera and just tapes a scene of London and doesn't do any narration, just lets it run and then puts it up there. And so I, you know, one of my favorite places in London is Hammersmith Bridge and the whole area around there along the Thames. And he just, for 10 minutes, it was video of the bridge and like the Dove and all the other little pubs, the Rutland, I think the Rutland pub is there, and the boats. And it was just, I felt like I was there and it was great. And so it's not that the production values are better or worse. It's just that with the internet, you can do different things because you don't have to appeal to this mass audience. So, you know, there probably aren't 10 million people who want to sit and watch a video for 10 minutes of Hammersmith Bridge, but there are enough people out there that it's pretty cool, and that's what we do.
And so how do you make money out of all this?
So we've got a couple of different ways that we do. We don't sell it. On the internet, you can't sell anything unless you're the Wall Street Journal. Basically, we give it away, but we build in sponsorship. So the hosts of the shows actually interact with products and services, talk about them in their own way. They make them part of the show, although it's really clear that they're talking about a sponsor. And so that's been traditionally how we've done it. It's been very successful. Our advertisers get, I mean, it's like 50% of our viewers have bought something from one of our advertisers, which is amazingly huge. But we're also experimenting with new capabilities, like running little 15-second ads at the end of our shows, or doing little ads that pop up from Google that pop up while you're watching the video. And if you click on them, you get a Google-like experience. Then you go back and watch it. And so I don't know which stuff is going to be successful. We're like in, this is like the way beginning of what's going to be a really long game. And so we are in the early, early seconds of this play, of this, what this movie is going to end up being about online video. And it's going to be all different in 6 months, and it'll be all different again in a year. But you just have to try a lot of stuff. And the good news is, there are advertisers out there that want to spend money, that like this environment, that want to reach our audience, and we're working with them to figure out what works better than what doesn't.
So there's really, really persistent rumors about Digg being up for sale. Any comment on that?
Well, Digg is a separate company, so Revision 3, entirely separate from Digg. I know those guys and talk to them, but I have no business relationship with them at all beyond the fact that we produce a show using one of their guys. So I have no idea. I mean, those rumors are around all the time. And Jay Adelson, I only know this because I saw it written about on the web. I have no inner insight. He basically said they don't comment on rumors, but he doesn't think it's, I don't know. I don't know exactly what he said, but I don't, you know. I have no idea. You know, it's just one of those things that just runs around all the time. So who knows?
Okay, and your new baby, Pop Siren. Tell us about your new project.
Right. So Pop Siren is it's a weekly show, about a half hour long, and it features five women, but it's not your sort of television traditional women who have more beauty than brains. These are really smart women that have passions about a lot of different things. So technology, science, crafts, DIY, life hacker stuff, and some modern culture as well. And what they do is we present a melange of cool things that these guys are interested in working on and find every week. So our first episode is up now, Pop Siren, and in it, stuff ranges from some really cool websites that allow you to really manage your life and get organized and really kind of focus on what's important to you, to our science expert showing how you can use flames and fire to visualize audio waveforms and the difference between, say, a tone that you hear at the high end of your range versus a tone you hear at the low end of your range. It's fascinating.
Okay, so you obviously think that there isn't enough content out there that's targeted at women, and I think some of the stats that have been out there say women tend to use social networking sites more, but guys tend to use video more. You're trying to grow that audience a bit?
Yeah, and I think, you know, even if it's like 10% one way or the other, it's still a big audience, and there are more and more people coming onto the internet every day who want to watch video like this. And in fact, there's enough room for all different types of content. You look at a site like Etsy or Make Magazine or Craft Magazine from the guys at Make Magazine. These are huge sites that focus on things that have appeal to, you know, women and men. And for us, we wanted to come up with a show that would be great and that would really appeal to women who are, you know, who are into technology and on the web and are smart and active, but also appeal to the male audience as well.